And it is time for Medicine on Call, and we have Medicine on Call right now. Dr. Elena George is on the line, and I just had to listen to some feeble excuse why she's not out here at the round table, but that's okay. You have a super topic. I'm going to let you go into it. I do or would appreciate folks going to America's Web Radio Facebook page. There is a serious, serious thing going on. The Air Force is not what it used to be. As of yesterday, 17 fighter groups were shut down. They have been grounded. Folks, we've got a president and a Congress that have forgotten a very important part of their oath, which is protect and defend. Our borders have turned into jello, no matter what the shrimp Napolitano says. And we're being attacked from all sides. So with that being said, please go to Facebook, if you have a Facebook account, and look up America's Web Radio, and you'll see the information. I'm not making this up. This is all validated. It came to me from a retired, first time I saw it, it came to me from a retired naval commander, and or captain, I'm sorry. And, you know, well, I'm not going to say anymore. Dr. George, it's your show, and go to it.
Well, I guess it will kind of piggyback on what you just said. Yesterday, I read an article about the New York State Police, and they're suspending handgun permits of people who've been prescribed anti-anxiety medication. Now, I know there's been an all-out war on the Second Amendment over the past several months, and there's been, you know, a lot of talk about taking away guns from people who have mental health issues. But I think this really oversteps a couple of bounds. I mean, you're talking now about the Health Information Privacy Act, or HIPAA, and you're also talking about anti-anxiety medication, which is completely different from somebody on an antipsychotic, somebody who's on, you know, something that's medication for people who are dangerous. They're deciding now, based on health information, it's how to take away your freedoms without due process for people who've not committed any crime whatsoever. I mean, this is unbelievable. In the age of Obamacare, where everything is now going to be under electronic medical record, what's to stop, you know, agencies such as the FBI, CIA, we already see the New York State Police, trolling through your information, your private health information, in order to take advantage of your rights or take away your rights, let's put it that way, put it plainly. It's pretty chilling. And it just passed without anybody saying a thing. I'm so happy I don't live in New York anymore, because it just seems to be open season on freedom, privacy, and basically going about your business where you're living your life and not hurting anybody. You are now pretty much an enemy of the state if you don't follow these draconian rules. It's just outrageous.
Dr. George, do you know if there's any study at all about, you know, it's like I put out the thing yesterday after Houston and the stabbing, you know, are we going to ban knives and control the sale of knives? And that, I guess, would be kitchen knives and everything else. But anyway, is there any, you know, they're talking about this, and let's have more checks on people's records and their mental state. How many of these people just actually flipped out? I mean, you know, I can remember, and you weren't here yet, I don't believe, but back in early 80s or late 70s, Perimeter Mall in their food court, a guy just walked in and started shooting. Mm-hmm. As it turned out, one of the people that was killed, the brother worked for me several years later. And the guy that did it, he was, I can't remember the details, he was caught there in the mall. But he had just flipped out and, you know, took a gun. And it's not the gun that kills anybody. It's the person. And you can be, you know, perfectly whatever today and flip out tomorrow. And I don't see a lot of these things, you know, certainly some of them are premeditated. But even at that, it's the person that, it's not the weapon that they use, it's them.
But we're missing the bigger picture here. And the person who critically thinks, this is taking away rights from people who have not committed crimes. Okay, everybody who's an upstanding citizen, who's gone about getting a gun the right way, getting it registered, going through firearms training, getting a permit to carry. These are the people who these laws are taking the rights away from. Citizens. The people who commit crimes are not involved with this. They don't follow any kind of rule or mandate. They're going to go about their business and gather more weapons. And it's going to be what it is in Chicago or New York, where you've got a citizenry at the mercy of criminals. And there was one sheriff or a police chief, I can't remember what state it was, who basically said, you know, the police can't protect everybody. You need to protect yourself. You need to help yourself because we cannot be there for everybody every second of the day. So you're asking people to voluntarily, in some cases, because people gave their guns up voluntarily, which I still don't understand, and involuntarily put themselves at the mercy of individuals who could care less about anybody but themselves. That doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense. And it's about pre-crime. It's about control, right? This is all about demonizing people based on the fact that they actually want, that they want to do things to protect themselves. And they do care about handling, being independent, self-reliant. That's an actual threat to a collective mentality where the government controls everything, where the government is your parent. I don't know if you heard about that quote from that MSNBC pundit who said that the children should be, parents should give their children up to the state because the state needs to basically become the mother and father of every child in this country. And again, all the push towards public education is a meme that once you get into that system, you are controlled by the state. Everything you do, they can give your children birth control without your say-so as a parent. They can give them vaccines without your say-so as a parent. You know, it's just unbelievable. What goes on in school system now, parents have no clue how bad it is. I mean, just like in medicine, this is like a stamp. It just gets reproduced. Doesn't matter what seems to be, no matter what walk of society that you're in, medicine, teaching, government, it's all about people who, these committees that get to decide what's best for you. I mean, Bloomberg is just one example. They're just test driving what they're doing in New York. And as people sit here and take it, they realize, hey, we can do whatever we like, and it's just going to be reproduced across the country. I mean, TSA is only one example. I mean, there's so many things going on at the same time. It's very difficult to keep yourself focused on this. But they're telegraphing exactly what they're going to do and what they want to do for everybody in this country. And for those of us who live in fear, who are afraid to, you know, who believe for whatever reason that the government cares about them and the government is going to take care of them, you're biting off a little bit more than you want to chew on this one. It's not a good situation. And once it gets indoctrinated in the school children, the next generation won't fight this. I mean, we're the last folks. I think, you know, the people who are awake right now are the last people who are going to be able to stop this. Because if you look at the generations behind us, you know, they're going to be in these government-mandated, police state. What is it that the president talked about? It was having children serve or people from the age of 20 up to 25 serve for a few months in a government service, whether it's volunteerism for Peace Corps or an actual kind of a police type of situation where you get to monitor your fellow citizens. That's not a situation, that's not a society that I want to live in. I don't know about you, but I actually, you know what, I do know about you. I think you feel the same way as I do about that.
No question about that.
I take that back. I know exactly how you feel about that. But it's all cloaked in this benign, you know, if you're against this, then somehow you're for killing people. It's all about turning off everybody's mind because they get them into such a situation of emotion-driven, fear-driven mentality. That's exactly what it's just going, veering from crises to crises. And having people feel powerless, they want you to feel powerless. They want you to give up your rights. They want you to believe that there's nothing that you can, as an individual, can do to help yourself. And then they put you in a position where you can't because you don't have a job. You actually take need government assistance to survive. Your children are in a system that you can't control because maybe you can't afford, for whatever reason, to put them in a private school system. It's just, it's unbelievable. And now you're telling me the military is being systematically shut down so that we can't protect ourselves. If something's up here. I mean, really, I don't think anybody can stand around now and say that there's not a bigger picture going on here.
It's terribly scary. Also on my Facebook page, and I don't mean to keep touting it, but Lieutenant General Paul Vallely has a very interesting thing that I shared from him, and again, it's April 24th is a very, very bad economic prediction. So, folks, I would again advise that you take a look at that. It's very scary. Dr. George, let me ask you, and I think I know the answer to this, but I know when I go to my primary care physician, it doesn't matter if I was there last week or 8 months ago, I get the same stupid form to fill out, like something has drastically changed. But one of the questions is, do you have guns in your home? I just put NFB, and I won't go into detail about that, but, it's none of their business. And, you know, It doesn't have a thing to do with how I feel, how I look, anything. And these questions, those are the nice ones. The health insurance companies are asking the same questions, and it all evolves down to one thing, and that's the government knowing what and where and when. And the ATF came out with some regulations that are just absurd on questions that they want answered, and they're trying to do a humongous database where everything about you is sent into the AFT or ATF. Mm-hmm. If I don't fill it in, do you have that question on a form that you give out?
I don't. And I can tell you right now, I do not have that question.
And if
I will not ask that question.
If I'm at a place that does, a doctor
you still
or a
have the right
to say no,
well,
don't you?
You still have the right. You have the right at this point not to answer that question. I don't know how long that's going to exist, but at this moment you do. And what you're describing is something called meaningful use. And that's one of the tenets of Obamacare and about the health information system, the medical records, electronic medical record system. Medicare guidelines and payment reimbursement is based on that. It's been voluntary to this point where doctors and hospitals will get a bonus payment for having the patients fill out these meaningful use questionnaires. That's now voluntary, but I think by 2016, that will become mandatory. And if you don't answer those questions or have your patients answer those questions, you won't be paid. So there's a carrot now, but the stick is coming. And you're going to be held accountable for not, as a physician, healthcare provider, for not filling in those questions. And the hospitals will not be paid for services rendered if those demographic questions aren't answered. And as we talked about before on the show at length, if you're a physician under contract and as a employee of a hospital, your free will is gone. They own you. And if you don't fill out these forms, you're going to end up probably in peer review, where you're considered to be disruptive and a bad doctor, and you may never practice medicine again. This is exactly what the big picture is. You go along, you get along, or you don't do. That's exactly the situation that we're finding ourselves as physicians being placed in.
Let's go we need to take a break, but let's go into more detail on that one right after the break, if you don't mind.
Sure.
We'll be back right after this.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
Moms, dads, listen to my radio program, Homeschooling for Today, on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you'll learn all about how to homeschool on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that allergy season in Georgia is year-round? Beginning in July through November, ragweed is the predominant pollen. But February through May, tree pollen causes allergy symptoms. Grass pollen occurs from mid-May through the beginning of July. If you suffer from daily nasal congestion, sneezing, runny nose, headache, ear clogging, or popping, or a chronic cough, these symptoms may be due to allergy and not infection. You should also think of allergies if there is no fever, chills, or colored mucus. Treatment should include nasal salt water sprays over the counter or antihistamines that do not cause drowsiness. If you have persistent headaches, a decrease in your sense of smell, or nosebleeds, you should see an ear, nose, and throat physician. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. During the break, I did something that I normally don't do. I raised Dr. George's blood pressure a little bit. Please go. Like I said, go to my Facebook page, America's Web Radio, and look at what we are paying our past presidents, our past representatives, senators. It'll make you sick, and we wonder what the problem is. So
we're paying for our own demise. That's what it sounds like.
We're paying for ending
our freedoms.
You hit it right on the head, and we can't afford it. This country cannot afford it. We don't have any. You know, they can tax the rich until the dogs come in, but.
Dave. They're not taxing the rich. Okay, let's also be clear about that. They're taxing the middle class and the working class. And Obamacare is one of the major taxes that are out there that's coming, that's here. I really predict that we won't, for the average folks, you're not going to get a tax return anymore. You're not going to see a tax return anymore. Because under Obamacare, when they calculate what you have to pay, if you choose not to join a healthcare program, an insurance plan, then the government is going to charge you, a surcharge for that. But it's not based on real numbers. It's based on estimation. So that if you estimate incorrectly, let's say you underestimate how much the government underestimates how much you owe, you end up getting a job and or a raise, then they get to take that money back the next year. Just debit it from your account because, as you know, everybody's going to have to give up their banking electronic transfer information. I've already gotten that paperwork from the Department of Labor for my company, and I'm sure I'm not alone. So you've got the government in your pocket, literally. You don't even get a say, so it just gets like Houdini. It's just gone, disappears. I'm sure it's not going to be coming in there. I think it's going to be coming out more than it's going to be putting in your account. I mean, this doesn't make a lot of sense. You're going to be paying for less health care than you can receive now as a person who's uncovered. That's what's so crazy about this entire situation. They haven't even decided what gets covered under the basic plan, but the bronze plan, the silver, the gold, and platinum plans. They haven't even decided what medical care will be provided. But basically, you're going to be paying into, this is so crazy when you think about it again. You're paying, prepaying into a system that won't really get started, if ever, until about 2016. Just like Medicare, just like Social Security, it's supposed to be used for your health, to provide you health care and to set up the structure. Well, by the time they have money going to Medicare Advantage plans, did you hear about that one?
Oh,
I'll tell you about that in a second. By the time it goes to the committees to set up your basic panels, what money's going to be left over to give you health care? You're paying into a system and trusting that they're going to put everything into place to make sure that you get what you need to provide your health care in this country. That's ridiculous. The whole thing doesn't even make sense. It's a total, total scam. While they have you feeling that you deserve it, you're owed this. You know, you can just walk in any doctor's office and get everything for free. It's not going to happen. And God forbid you do end up getting screened and getting a horrible diagnosis, God forbid. Good luck getting the care that you think that you deserve. It's not going to happen, especially if you're a senior, because they're going to start rationing care based on your expected lifespan, your expected quality of life. Everybody now goes into a big continuum of calculated risk and benefit. There's no more individualized health care. My dad, who's 90, who underwent major catastrophic surgery at age of 89, would never have gotten that. And by the way, he made it. He lived to dance at his next birthday. And he had an excellent quality of life until a week before he passed away. So if he had been here in the United States, they wouldn't even have afforded him the opportunity to do that, because they would have felt that it wasn't worth it based on his age alone. Forget the fact that he gardened and was self-sufficient and mind sharper than any 20-year-old. But they don't think about that anymore. It's all about he's 89, and that's what we expect. We expect him to be an invalid, to be demented, to not have any quality of life at all. Therefore, we will not be spending any money on him. That's where we stand. It's not going to be what people think. I'm going to say it, I guess, until I'm blue in the face on this one. And once they come for the seniors, the next group will be the very young children who come out, who are born with medical conditions or perceived medical problems that won't be functioning members of society, quote unquote. That's ridiculous. I mean, you can't. Medicine is not geared to be that way. It's not. It's about do no harm.
Dr. George.
But it's being stripped away from us.
If one were independently wealthy, which this one isn't, but if one were independently wealthy, could they find a concierge-type physician and a hospital that would admit them? In the situation that you're 77, you're wealthy, you're sick, and you need to be in a hospital, is a hospital even going to take them?
Sure.
I guess
fee for service will always exist, Dave.
Okay.
In some form, whether it's a black market form, whether it's a have enough money to get on a plane and get out of Dodge kind of form, it'll always exist. It's going to become a two-tier system. And those with money and means will have better health care than the average person. And the average delivery of health care will be less effective, more one-size-fits-all. One conveyor belt style of medicine delivered by non-doctors. That's the future. And I think it's Walgreens now, who's now setting up their wellness clinics and hiring nurse practitioners and physician assistants, not doctors, by the way, but healthcare extenders, in order to take care of no longer just colds and give vaccines. It's going to be now to take care of chronic conditions. That's the difference. High blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, things that are that should be managed in a doctor's office is now going to be managed in Walgreens in a clinic. I mean, of course it's going to be possible because the government is going to put, you know, put out their mandates and their treatment algorithms and how you, what medications you give, for how long you need to give them. You've already seen what they're doing to their employees in some of these places, that they have to give their weights because their BMI needs to be checked. This is all about numbers-driven conveyor belt medicine. If you fall outside of the norm, you're not going to get, you're going to be punished. Whether that means you can't get on a plane or you got to pay by weight, and there's another airline, I think it's in Fiji or something, that's making people pay based on their weight, not on anything else, not on the luggage, but how much you weigh. That's, you know, that's one aspect of it. I can foresee how this, I see how this rolls out. If you're a government assistant, if you're getting an electronic benefit card, food stamps, they're coming for you next because they're going to decide, hey, you're a smoker, you have a BMI of 30, 35, you're wasting, you know, you're costing everybody else. It's about the collective now, not about the individual. You're costing society too much money. And in order for you to continue to get your benefits, you're going on a diet whether you like it or not. What Bloomberg did in New York is just the beginning. No big gulps, no popcorn, no soda, no smoking. And it's really easy to do that if you have an electronic benefit card and you have to scan everything. All you do is turn off the scanner for those particular food items. And then you don't get them. I mean, this is really just, it's mercenary. It's amazing. And everybody's just, it's a freebie. I'm owed this. I'm special. And that's how they're getting us. Everybody's amazing. A professional victim all of a sudden. It's just really sad.
And we've talked about this. I do hope that some folks are waking up slowly, or waking up, period. And again, it's like what they're doing to the military benefits, medical care in the military, which you're familiar with. TRICARE, they're cutting it into shreds. It's like this administration is taking everything, putting it on a sheet of paper, and running it through the shredder. Would that be a decent analogy?
Everything except for government employees and people in Congress who are completely grandfathered out of any of this.
True.
Yeah, it's okay for you, but it's not okay for us. The question doesn't matter to Congress. They're not affected by this in any way. Parties go on 24/7 up there. Vacations go on 24/7 up there. As if it doesn't matter. As if it's completely removed from society and from reality. And they think so little of the American people that they do it right in your face. And they just, and what? That's their attitude.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
We have to stop here, take a break, and we'll be back with Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that chronic nasal congestion, a decreased sense of smell, and asthma can be signs of allergies? Allergies are caused when the body is exposed to things you breathe in or eat that the body does not like. The body's immune system reacts and attacks it, what it perceives to be the enemy, even if it causes no harm, like pet dander or dust. This leads to swelling. In the nose, this causes congestion. In the bowel, it causes stomach bloating and diarrhea. In the lung, it causes shortness of breath and wheezing. And in the skin, it causes hives and itching. The first line of defense against allergy is avoidance. Dustproofing, washing pets, and keeping them out of the bedroom can help with environmental causes. For food allergies, keeping a diary of things eaten and reaction to them is helpful. Allergy testing is less time-consuming and is a safe and effective way to identify allergies. For a complete evaluation, you should see your allergy specialist.
This is Doug Field, the CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and I invite you to join us every Friday at 11 o'clock for Healthcare Consumerism Radio.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. We were just laughing about but this, it's so serious that it's just absolutely dumbfounding to me. As I've said before, I give Obama credit for one thing. He is attacked, broached, come in from every angle possible and to destroy and control our rights. And certainly medicine is one of the biggies, as we know, with Obamacare.
Well, you know, if you really think about this again from, looking from afar at this in the big picture, what this Obamacare legislation does is it co-opts healthcare professionals, and it co-opts us and makes us government entities, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. Because we're supposed to, and we do, as a doctor-patient relationship, you gather information, and it's supposed to be private. It's like your pastor, your priest, whatever says is in the doctor's office, just like in a lawyer's office. It should be protected information. We're the only group that I can see that lose that particular, that kernel of what makes the doctor and patient relationship so special. It's the privacy aspect. It's that you can tell your doctor everything because you can't make a diagnosis without the history. And you can't help somebody unless you know the entire story. You've now inserted, under this legislation, the government between the doctor and the patient. And most doctors don't have a mindset of, let me think about this for a second. Should I really ask this question? Most doctors won't go there because they're just taking everything at face value. But I challenge my colleagues to really start thinking about the good of the patient at this point. It's different. I understand if you're a pediatrician, you see some child neglect or child abuse, you have to turn that in. I understand that. That's really what it should be designed to do. But it's not that now. It's gathering information just like I do on Facebook, just like you do on Google when you search. Now they're getting you in your doctor's office or your psychiatrist's office or your psychotherapist or your social worker's office where you're telling intimate details about your life, which will be used against you. I asked this question a couple years ago. Will your health information be used against you? And the answer now is absolutely yes. If you look at New York, you're going to have people coming up to your house and confiscating your weapons. If you take a Xanax or, Valium or some sort of anti-anxiety drug, not an antipsychotic, but an anti-anxiety, where does it stop? If you take melatonin because you can't sleep,
you can
extrapolate out, if you don't sleep, you might get psychotic down the road. You're going to have that taken as well. I mean, once you're on the slippery slope, there is no stopping it.
You were reading my mind, evidently. I guess you got the clean crystal ball out or something. I was just thinking, I don't know all of the, obviously I don't know any of them necessarily, the drugs that are available. But correct me if I'm wrong, just like you were saying, there are a lot of drugs. Maybe this drug is used for toenail fungus, but at the same time it can be used for hypertension or for this or for that or, you know, who knows what. And they can come in and say, well, you're taking this drug, so you must be nuts or you must have a mental problem, so we're shutting you down.
Yeah.
And you say, wait a second.
There's no due process. It's based solely on information that you and your doctor have, that you and your doctor share. You know the nuances. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Someone stopped, they want to stop smoking, and they can be giving an antidepressant like Wellbutrin to help them stop smoking. All the database sees is that you're on Wellbutrin. Oh, you must have a mental disorder. You're not getting a gun. If you do have one registered, we're coming for it. They might start taking your kids away from you because you must be a bad parent if you're on Medicaid. I mean, where does it stop? It doesn't stop. And it's based on erroneous information. That's the problem. Okay, that's the problem with this kind of system. And the people who voluntarily, you have a right, this is my thing, you have a right to do whatever you like in terms of you wanting to give up your guns, you wanting to put your children in public school system, that's great. But when it encroaches on someone else's rights who don't want to do that, those who want to protect themselves, to prepare, to actually take responsibility for their lives, when it encroaches on those folks, then there's a problem because it paints everybody with the same brush. And not only does it paint people, but it makes them criminals. If I, as a physician, if I undercharge somebody, I can be considered a felon for doing that. I'm on the same par as someone who steals, somebody who kills somebody. For undercharging, for underbilling, for not charging enough money, does that make any sense to anybody listening to this? And this is where we're at. We're at nonsensical rules to completely control and manipulate people based on what people who don't do, who don't know, who can't do, who are about controlling everybody because they can. Not because it's appropriate, but because you can. That's arbitrary, and it's ridiculous, and it's going to kill people. And those folks, those doctors who see this coming like I do, but either they're close to retirement or they're like, forget this, I'm just going to do something else. This isn't worth it to me. What does that do to the whole system? It completely takes the good people out, leaving those who are like, I'll just go along, get along. It's 9 to 5, 501, go to the ER. You know, I'm just going to give you 15 medications instead of thinking about what the real problem is. That's where we are right now. That's the path we're going down. And it's driven by the drug companies, by the Hospital Corporation of America, by AARP, everybody, insurance companies, everybody who stood to gain. During the last couple of months, I think we talked about it briefly, but I just want to bring it up again. And Medicare Advantage is a supplemental, it's an insurance part of Medicare that is overseen by private insurance companies. Humana has it, United Healthcare, Blue Cross, everybody has a little piece of that pie. And under Obamacare, what they decided to do is to give 17 million, I don't know if it's billion or million, but a ton of money to the private insurers for Obamacare recipients to get health care. Now, instead of the government setting up their exchanges where it's supposed to be cheap and they're supposed to offer you an alternative from the private, they decide to give the money to the private insurance companies who have jacked up their prices about 30% so far. You just rewarded them for ripping off people. And to top it off, that the Medicare Advantage folks would probably get a little bit of something because they're being subsidized. But that price of adding all those folks into the system with their medical conditions, it's going to have a ripple effect on those outside the system because the insurance companies are going to charge more for premiums for healthy, younger people to cover the cost of the sicker people coming into the system. The whole thing is like sweeping stuff under the rug, and it's getting them, or putting them under the bus. It's getting harder and harder to do, but I guess, you know, as long as people believe they're getting something for nothing, they get to win. No one's thinking about the bigger picture here. You don't get anything for, there is nothing free in this system. You will end up paying the price at some point, whether it's in higher premiums, whether it's in denied health services, whether it's in end-of-life decisions that are made for you and about you without your input. That's where this is going to go.
And it's happening. It's happening now. It's already going on. People should wake up, too, to the fact that if they go in for a procedure, you think, oh, well, all I have to pay is my copay. Not anymore, sweetheart. You're paying for copay plus. And you hit it right on the head. You don't get something for nothing. And we've got to get away from even contemplating that we're going to get something for nothing, because it's not going to happen.
It's definitely not going to happen. And if you look at, again, what's going into place, the new head of Medicaid and Medicare was an executive in the Hospital Corporation of America. You know, that's where she came from. It wasn't from, oh, she's a physician and she practiced medicine and, you know, she had to make a payroll and she understands the cost and what patient care really... No, it came from a system of corporatism, of corporate-driven, of status quo. That's the person who's going to be running Medicaid and Medicare, or at least I'm sure she'll get confirmed. And so you're in the same situation that it's a bunch of corporate-driven, status quo individuals who are all about making sure that the system gets bigger and the tentacles extend farther and individual choice is limited. That's how it works. That's how government works. There's no other way to think about it, I don't think. I think it's pretty obvious what they're doing. It's not about health in any stretch of the imagination. It's about control. Again, you can use TSA and their scanners as your example to make people. And by the way, let's be clear, you don't have to go through those scanners, at least at this point. It's not mandated. But they try to make it as hard and ugly as possible so that you'll just go down the path of least resistance. But those things are not safe. A cancer cluster in Logan Airport for the TSA workers who work around it is much higher than the average population, right? Those scanners have never been tested. You have the company, just like you do with lots of drug companies, doing their own internal studies, and of course they're going to say it's safe, and then they don't allow anybody to do studies. Or actually, there's a whole group of radiologists and doctors from Johns Hopkins who wrote a letter stating, we don't believe this is safe. They got totally ignored.
Dr. George, if I came to your office, or you said I needed to go have my head examined, which you probably would say, but I needed an X-ray, or if I was there in my dentist chair and they were going to do X-rays, let me think. They put a lead shield, and then the people that are doing the X-ray, they get behind a wall and do the button and all. You know, not only is the machines in the airports, they're not shielded, to my knowledge.
No.
You know, you could be, we talk about secondary smoke. Isn't it secondary radiation that we're all getting? You know, even if you say, I'm not going through the line, if you've stood in the line and the 10 people in front of you went through it, five will get you 10. You've gotten some radiation from it.
I don't think that you're in that much danger if you're in the line. It's the folks standing next to it as it's deploying over and over again, and the folks that actually go through it. They're in much, much bigger harm's way than someone, going through the conveyor line, pushing their stuff through the X-ray machine. That's different. But ultimately, when they tell you it's only equivalent to a chest X-ray, well, you only do a chest X-ray maybe one every two, maybe 3 years, one, as opposed to a frequent flyer who goes through this multiple times a week. Okay, that's one problem. Two, I noticed, too, they don't allow the TSA workers to use dosimeters, you know, the radiation detectors to tell you when, hey, you've had too much, you have to take a step back. They don't allow them to wear that. That's unbelievable.
It is.
I mean, what happened to OSHA? I guess OSHA doesn't apply to government workers, but it applies to everybody else. I mean, if OSHA really took a long, hard look at what these guys in TSA are going through, I bet they'd have some fines coming. I would imagine.
If I were a TSA operative or person standing there, I believe I'd be raising some questions, too. We got to take our last break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that sleep is an important weapon against infection? Sleep is important because it is restorative. During sleep, known as REM, the body recuperates and resets. For example, the immune system increases its activity and stress hormones drop. There is a correlation between sleep deprivation and frequent colds. The average adult should get 7 to 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep per night, and a child needs more since they are growing. Sleep hygiene is important to set a good foundation. Techniques to promote good quality restorative sleep include going to bed at the same time at night, avoiding alcohol or caffeine prior to bedtime, avoiding exercise in the evening, reading to a young child at bedtime, avoidance of drinking fluids late in the evening, and avoidance of taking decongestants at bedtime. If you are having problems sleeping more than once a week, you should see a doctor for further evaluation. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call.
This is Rena Sartain asking you to join us on the Master Gardener Hour every Saturday morning at 11. Lively conversation and great guests. You'll always learn a lot. See you on Saturday.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, 2 blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Okay, and we're back for the last segment with Dr. Elena George and Medicine on Call, and we have about 10 minutes, Dr. George. I've been running a little late. You know, I just ask you, and you know, medically, we really haven't per se talked about it, but all of the things that are going on, you and I just talked about it off the air for a second. All the things that are going on, if you're there, and in fact, you were talking about class of people, rich and then the rest of us. I think there's another class of people. Classes of people. They're the people that are informed and trying to keep up with what's going on, like yourself and the folks at other folks here at the station and stuff. But, you know, with all of the things and Obamacare and the sequestering, you know, just sequestering all of this stuff, it's driving, if you keep in touch, it's driving you crazy. It's and mental health wise, it's got, and then there's the other class of people that they haven't dug their head out of the sand for 12 years, or they'll say, oh yeah, I heard about it. Doesn't make any difference. It's our government knows what they're doing, stopping 17 squadrons. We probably didn't need to spend the gas on training or anything else to have our Air Force at the apex where it should be in case anything happened. So you got those two people and the people that are trying to stay informed. I know the frustration level is just incredible. And then when I go to pay my monthly employment taxes, I just go crazy, quite frankly. I hate it. I don't want to pay for Obama to play golf.
It's a lot of things I don't want to pay for, I tell you. But I'm really more of an optimist. I think that there's more people who actually are following this and understand that things are not going on the right track. The only thing that we need to do is be vocal. You need to stop being polite about this. Call your congressperson, your state senator, your local, you know, assemblyman, whatever you want to do, just make your voice heard. What they tread on and what they count on is, are people being so either feeling powerless, apathetic, or basically cowed into submission, because if you pick your head up, someone's going to call you a name and bully you, that you stay silent. And then they go along and they make these pronouncements. Silence is complicity, right? So if you're not making a stink, then obviously you agree with them. That's what they're using. That's what they're using against us. You know, the fact that this Obamacare nonsense went through Congress, that even the people who were for it, like Rockefeller, it's a great quote from him saying that it's so complex that it's never going to work because it's not being implemented properly because it's so complex. Hello, you're the one who wanted this thing. You don't even know how to implement it. Obviously, it's not what you said it was, and it's now being shown for what it is, a complete cluster and a huge tax, and anti-health is really what it's being exposed as to be, being exposed to be. And if people stand up now and say, this is not going in the right direction, I don't want to pay taxes on things I'm never going to get, that's, you know, you can now make a difference with this before it goes into complete lockdown mode. And these guys want to get back in, just like with the Second Amendment. The fact, it's like Orwellian. You've got 12 million guns sold last month, or the month before that. And then people getting on and saying, well, obviously a majority of the country thinks we should get rid of the Second Amendment. Really? I think people voted that they want the Second Amendment by the fact that the guns are coming off the shelves and all sorts of places, and the gun shows are just being, there's lines around the block. That's how people are voting. But because they just keep saying things that are totally untrue over and over again, as if they're true, that they think that they're living in some dream world, these guys who are running things. But if we start voting with our pocketbooks, keeping our opening our mouths, letting them know we're watching you, we don't like the way this is going, and you will be summarily removed, we're going to vote you out, we're not going to tolerate this anymore, it would stop. I mean, how can the UN run the United States? They're making pronouncements that we're just, okay, we're just going to sign on to it. That's not Congress making laws. That's not Congress, you know, with the power of the purse. It's the UN doing things, like the healthcare system. I said this before, I'm going to say it one more time. Obamacare is not really written, and yes, it's written by the drug companies and the hospital corporation, et cetera, but what it really is putting us into the global healthcare system, which is run by the World Health Organization and the UN. The iteration of the coding system, ICD-10, is when we adopt that, we have just signed on to a lower standard of care based on global health initiatives. Once we're in there, we're not coming back out. That's a problem. But we need to really pay attention to what's going on, because it's not ever in our interest or in our favor. You know, people want the United States to fall. They want us to come down to their level. That's really the bottom line. And they're doing it by hook or crook. And we have people in the government who are complicit with that, who are working for that, who are trying to change our country, change our mindset, change the entire way of life so that we become part of the whole. People need to start doing some due diligence on this and read.
Okay.
Don't trust me. Don't listen to me. Read. And you'll figure this out pretty quickly.
Can I throw in a couple of things here? One is, I know you're very supportive of two organizations that I totally support. One is Association of Physicians and Surgeons.
Mm-hmm.
Please go to their website, join. You don't have to be a physician or a surgeon to join their organization, but they're fighting for us. Not the AMA, but the Association of Physicians and Surgeons. Please go to their website, look them up, and support them. The second thing is, you know, I keep saying, what can we do? What can David do by himself? There are two things. if you're watching one of the mainstream medias and they run some stupid, opinionated, what else can we call it, garbage on their air that is a lie, or you have something like MSNBC, call that sponsor. You can either identify yourself or you can be anonymous and say, look, I'm no longer buying your laundry detergent. I'm no longer buying your toothpaste. I'm no longer buying your potato chips, whatever it is. They have people that answer the phone. You don't have to go to their president to say it, but those people will pass it on. I assure you, they don't want to lose revenue. And the same way with your congressman, your state congress, your local representatives, and the U.S. Congress and Senate. Call them. If you don't support anti-gun control, I'm not going to vote for you, and I'm going to work as diligently as I can to get you unelected. I'm going to support anybody that runs against you and see that you're not reelected. That puts the fear of God in them. They can't imagine not being your representative.
That gets their attention, because otherwise they just take you for granted. I have the vote. I have the demographic. I can do what I want. And they're being driven by corporate interests. It's where the money is. That's who's supporting them. You're just an afterthought. They need you for the technical vote so they can get back in. But their ears, their whole existence is actually paid for and driven by moneyed interest. And that's the problem. They work for us. They need to be reminded of that. They don't work for Monsanto. And the fact that they wrote that bill, they should all be removed for allowing Monsanto to craft a bill and have it passed. It's technically for 6 months. But you know how laws are. They rarely get reversed, right? But Monsanto can do whatever. They can poison us. They can kill us. And they'll never be held accountable, just like the vaccine makers. There's a law that grandfathers them, that shields them from being sued or from people putting them out of business for committing crimes against humanity. That's what they're doing. They're poisoning our food supply with genetically modified, so I'm going to call it for what it is. If it's causing abortions in cattle and it's lowering the yield of the food supply, it should not be in existence. And if it's changing nature by adding DNA from insects and DNA, or I should say chemicals like Agent Orange, into the seed itself, into the actual foodstuff, then it's killing us. Agent Orange is toxic. It's a herbicide. I see people coming from Vietnam in my office once a week who have cancer based on their exposure to Agent Orange. It was sprayed on them and they inhaled it. Imagine what it could do to your body when you eat it.
Dr. Georgia,
we're going to know in about 20 years what that means.
We're going to have to stop here. We're out of time. Thank you, as always. This has been Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. If you're looking for a very good, the best, in fact, ENT, look at Dr. George's Peachtree ENT Center, correct?
That's right, exactly. Go to PeachtreeENTCenter.com and learn about all the new things that we're doing.
Absolutely. Dr. George, thank you, and we'll talk to you next week.